Welcome to episode 341 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The experiences and contributions of people of African descent are recognized, commemorated, and often celebrated during Black History Month in various parts of the world. This month is celebrated in February in the United States and in Canada. In the UK and Ireland, October is set aside for that purpose. On this last day of February, we will pause to acknowledge the experience of Black people in the US in a special edition of 1010 Thrive. Romans 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I am convinced, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that there is a reality in the power of one. To be one implies that one must be willing to stand alone, and nobody wants to be alone. To stand alone is to run the risk of isolation, to operate in the arena of one's vulnerability. To stand alone is either to be the object of public attention or the target of public ridicule or scorn. And yet, I'm here to suggest that there is a reality in the power of one. And more to the point, if there is a lesson in the collective history of Black people, it is to be found in this reality. It is hard to be authentically one. Most modern societies encourage conformity, consistency, and membership in the collective. And only with great hesitation do they tolerate the one who would be one and who exercises the human option to stand alone. Human wisdom would have us to believe that there is power in numbers. Or to be sure, there is safety in numbers. Strangely enough, we are no longer a society of free, moral, and independent agents. We have become, and regrettably so, a society of persons who have become co-opted by the system, marginalized by the economy, and homogenized by the culture. Peer pressure has become a phrase synonymous with our time. Peer pressure simply means that who I am as a person is less important than who I am in the context of the larger society. I do not act as I know that I ought, rather I act in ways that will be accepted by my contemporaries and accepted by the crowd. In order to be accepted by the crowd, therefore, I must act like the crowd acts, put my brain in neutral, and assume the mind of the masses. Consequently, my personality loses its integrity, my behavior is controlled, my thoughts are regulated, my activities are regimented, my economic potential is diminished, and my politics are predictable. Not because of the I-ness of me, but because of the power and appeal of mass mentality. Nobody gives much thought to the value of the power of one. However, I want to suggest that just one idea is a seedbed of imagination. One thought contains the genius of new invention. One experiment holds the power of scientific discovery. One teacher can inspire a classroom of scholars. One determined lawyer can set captives free. One consecrated physician can soothe pain and cool fever. One word softly spoken can bring an end to the jangling cords of discord and strife. One expression of love can remove bitterness and hate. One word of encouragement can chase away clouds of depression and doubt. One life that is lived can preach sermons more eloquently than any given by human tongue. Yes, there is a reality in the power of one. And more importantly, if there's a lesson in the collective history of Black people, it is to be found in this reality. One need only to summon the actors who have walked across the stage of history to illustrate this point. One man, Robert Abbott, founded a paper in 1905 called the Chicago Defender and gave a voice to the voiceless, and his efforts helped to trigger the Great Migration from the South. Maya Angelou was one woman. And she lived a life just as remarkable as the poetry and prose she crafted in 86 years. She knew why the caged bird sings, and in spite of how people tried to keep her down, still she could rise to become the first female inaugural poet in U.S. presidential history, and she won the Presidential Medal of Freedom. One woman, Ella Baker, moved to Atlanta in 1957 to help Martin Luther King Jr. form the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, through which she facilitated protests built campaigns, and ran a voter registration campaign called A Crusade for Citizenship. Dr. King may have been the head of the civil rights movement. Baker was the backbone. Mary McLeod Bethune was one woman, but she was an educator, civil rights leader, an advisor to five U.S. presidents. Called the First Lady of the Struggle, she turned her faith, her passion for racial progress, and her organizational and fundraising savvy into Bethune-Cookman University and the National Council of Negro Women. Before Yes We Can, there was Unbought and Unbossed. This was the political slogan of the first black woman elected to the U.S. Congress in 1968 and the first black candidate for a major party's nomination for president, the incomparable Shirley Chisholm. Frederick Douglass was one man. He may have been born into slavery, but he rose to challenge the denial of black humanity. He was not afraid to call white supremacy by its right name, and he influenced Abraham Lincoln to emancipate the slaves during the Civil War. One man, Dr. Charles Drew, is largely responsible for blood banks. Because one woman, Katherine Johnson, could see hidden figures, the space program has been successful. One man, Michael Jordan, was not selected for his high school varsity team and became the greatest basketball player ever and a billionaire today. One man, Thurgood Marshall, racked up 29 victories arguing before the Supreme Court. He won so much that they decided if they couldn't beat him, he should join them. My thesis is simple. My thought is clear. I believe there is a reality in the power of one. But if this does not convince you, perhaps we ought to look to biblical history. Now, my brothers and sisters, it occurs to me that when God acts, God always acts through the power of one. When God wanted to cleanse creation and reconstruct the world, God ordered one man to build a boat, a man named Brother Noah. When God heard the cries of the children of Israel and when God could bear to see their suffering and hardship no longer, the record says that God found a man on the backside of Sinai tending his father-in-law's sheep, took the stammering out of his tongue, put words in his mouth, compassion in his heart, fire in his eyes, justice in his head, and a rod in his hand, and sent him down to Egypt so he could preach one sermon and one sermon only, Brother Pharaoh, let my people go. And when God saw the armies of Israel with fear in their hearts and terror in their eyes, when God saw that King Saul was powerless before the armies of the Philistines, when God saw that numbers alone could not win the battle or gain the victory, God sent a little shepherd boy, only a boy named David, only a little sling, only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. He sent this boy to stand in defiance of the giant Goliath from Gath. When God needs to deal with an enemy, he does not need an army. He does not need numbers. All God needs is one person who will stand on his behalf, and in his power, all God needs is the power of one. Elijah the Tishbite was one man, and yet he prayed one prayer, and there was no rain for 3.5 years. He was one man, and yet he stood in opposition to 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, and called on God who rained down fire on Mount Carmel. Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus, was one man, and yet he wrote more than half the New Testament, and he raised up churches throughout Greece and Asia Minor, the greatest missionary in the history of Christendom. In the Bible, 3 is the number of the Trinity, 7 is the number of perfection, 12 is the number of discipleship, 40 is the number of a generation, but the most important of all is 1. 1 is the number of our God. Moses proclaimed, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jesus said, I and the Father am one. Paul wrote, There is one God, one mediator between God and men. One is the number of salvation. Jesus is our only Savior. There's only one way to salvation. There's only one truth for salvation. There's only one baptism to attest to salvation. There's only one life in salvation. One is the number of the church. We are unified as one. Still, this matter is not simply historical. It is not just applicable to black people, and it's not just biblical, for it lives on the street where you and I live. Yes, you are one person, but when God made you, God made only one you. God made no other you like you. Only you and nobody else can do the things that God has designed for you to do except you. What are you doing with your power of one? What difference are you making in your church, in your neighborhood, in your world of influence? God has placed you where you are and has equipped you with the power of one for a purpose. Father, help us to be willing to stand for you even if we stand alone. Help us also to be one in the Spirit. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.